My name is Stephen. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
My sobriety date is May 29, 2024. I have a sponsor. I sponsor others, and this is my home group. I'm kind of amazed that I got 2 years, and I'm very grateful for everybody, a lot of people in this room, the fellowship that did a lot of that work with me. Tonight I have Terry speaking for me. I chose Terry because he was without, I don't even know that he knows this, but he's a big reason why I started coming back to AA. My pigeon brothers would tease me about how I'd disappear when I first got sober because I wasn't really ambitious about a home group or service work or anything like that. And one day I loaded up YPG.net and it was randomly Terry's share. And then that share, it was the first one that I actually listened to it. And then in there, I heard someone got sober. And I listened to every single thing he did in that chair that got him sober. And then that Thursday, the next Thursday, I came back to this meeting, and Terry was at the front door, and he was thrilled when he saw me. And then he and I sat aside, and we figured out how to get Thursdays off. So I'm going to introduce Terry. Yeah.
Sit down, dude. It's fine. You're weird, man. Come on. Weird. Go sit down. Josh, go away. Terry, I'm an alcoholic. I got sober June 6, 2016. This is my home group. I've got a sponsor. He's going to be speaking after me. I have the privilege of sponsoring some of the guys that say that I'm their sponsor. You know, if you sponsor people, you get that joke. And if you don't get that joke, your sponsor might not know that they sponsor you, you know. So I found this group back in 2009. It took me 17 years to get 10 years. And around here, that's how we do things. And I had like 4 months sober, and these guys took me up to Virginia. And they told me about this dude called Monkey. And they were like, you got to meet Monkey. Go find Monkey. And so the Sunday night that I'm up there, I find Monkey. And it's on like the corner of this street in D.C., and I'm like, hey, I've heard all about you. My name's Terry. I'm a member of the Young People's Group. I have 4 months sober. And Monkey goes, let me tell you how AA works. And I was like, here we go. You know. And he said, in your first year, you can fuck up as much as you want. Doesn't matter. You're new. And then between 1 and 5, you can mess up one time. You can pull your new guy card. And then between 5 and 10, you can't make any mistakes. You got to stay real tight. And then after 10, you can do whatever the fuck you want because you got 10 years. So I tell you guys that, buckle up, because I've just celebrated 10 years. I'm doing whatever I want. So we're going to get a little off the rails tonight. I'm dressed like an idiot. You know, I know that. But I think it looks cool, so I don't care. There's a bunch of babies here tonight. I told a couple people, if them babies start crying, please keep them right here. There's no more beautiful sound in AA than a family being put back together. I hate seeing them leave, you know. So, fuck, I'm so proud of you, Stephen. Like, Stephen pissed me off there for a little stretch because all Ryan would tell me and Isaac about is like, yeah, I told Stephen about like making financial amends. And the next week he made all his financial amends. And then I told him to write like a nightly inventory. And the next night he wrote a nightly inventory. He just does everything I tell him to do. And we're like, bro, you got to chill, you know, you're making us look bad. And then, you know, Stephen had like called me and was like, can you like help me with math? And I was like, I haven't been in school in a long, I'm old, you know, like, I don't know. And I just used ChatGPT and was like, just do this, you know? And the deal was, is a few weeks later, Stephen texted our pigeon family and let us know that he got his GED. And I'm so proud of you, man, you know? And then just, you know, a month or two ago, he just starts sending me these pictures and videos of him and his dad, you know, ziplining, skydiving, all kinds of crazy stuff. And he, like, had been estranged from his father for years. And his dad came down here to spend a week with him and just hang out with him and do crazy stuff with him. And, like, that doesn't happen. You know, I don't know where it happens outside of here. So, thank you for letting me be here. So I love to drink, dude. I love it. I love everything about it. You know what I mean? Like, I love, like, the smell of stale beer. I love girls that got puke on their shirt. They're my favorite. You know, I love just knowing my ride is on the way to go to the bar, right? Like, I'm already, you know, feeling good right then, you know? And I love what alcohol does to me. And I'll tell you what it, like, the first time that alcohol worked for me, if you don't think that AA can change people, pay attention for the next, like, 1 minute, and you'll believe it. I'm at this house party, and I'm drinking Smirnoff Ices, and I catch myself in the side view mirror of this car, and I got 50 Cent bumping on the radio. You know, it's 2002. And I got a do-rag on, I'm smoking a Black Mild, white beater, baggy jeans. And I'm like, you look good, bro. Tonight's the night, you know? And here I stand before you in some snakeskin shoes and, you know, my Stetson hat. Because AA has done this to me, in spite of me, right? But that feeling that I had, that was like the first time I ever felt that. And I just wanted to recreate that every time I picked up a drink. I wanted to feel that one more time. And the problem was that like window of being able to capture that got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then it was just pain, you know? I was just drinking to escape. And my drinking's like really sad and boring. I wake up in the morning. I know I did something the night before. I try to figure out what I did. I try to figure out who I pissed off or hurt, what damage I caused. I make promises that I'm not going to do it again tonight. And I mean them every single morning. I mean that promise. And then somewhere in the middle of the day, I figure out what went wrong. You know, I do the math on it. And I come up with a plan of how I'm going to drink. And it's going to be like acceptable. And I'm going to capture that window. And, you know, Many Men is going to come on the jukebox. And like, we're going to be there again, you know. And I set out to like try out my experiment. And the lights are flashing. And it's last call. And I wake up the next morning. And I don't know what I did the night before. But I know I did something to piss somebody off. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm not going to drink that day. And that went on for years. It went on for years, man. And it I traded in everything good in life for it. I had a son along the way, and I remember holding him and having hope that, like, I'm gonna get my life together now. Like, I have a perfect, beautiful baby boy. I'm gonna, like, get on the right path. And a couple weeks later, I'm booked in Orient Road Jail on a bunch of felonies. You know, because I'm just not wired up like that. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous in July of 2009, I was just beat up. I was done. I had heard about you guys from a family member about 6 months prior. And another firm resolution to not drink had been broken. And I came to you guys like, I couldn't wait to have a battle buddy to go out to the bar with and only have two drinks together, you know? Because I thought that's what we were going to do here, you know? And I rolled up in a Yon on a Sunday night, and this old dude from Kentucky in bib overalls was just laying down my story. And I was like, man, this guy gets it, you know? And then he talked about being sober for like 30-something years at the time, and I was like, maybe he doesn't understand. And then he talked about God, and I was out, you know? I wasn't listening anymore. And after that meeting, I met the biggest dorks that I would ever encounter in my life. You know, they rolled up and, hey, I'm Lloyd, and I'm Ryan. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. How long have you been sober? Do you have a sponsor? Do you believe that you have the phenomenon of craving? You know, and I was like, fuck, man, what is going on? And what's crazy is, there's Lloyd. There's one of the Ryans. And the other Ryan texted me about an hour ago, you know. Those guys are still here at Alcoholics Anonymous 17 years later. So if you think, like, what do I do to stay sober? There's an example. Run up on a new guy at the end of the parking lot that looks like that's the last place on earth he wants to be, you know? And ask him if he's read the doctor's opinion yet, you know? But these guys got me plugged into AA, man, and my life got good, you know? My life got good, and I stuck around, and I stayed sober for 6.5 years, and every good thing that I could ask for came true, you know? I got my driver's license back. Got a car. I met a woman that I fell in love with. We reestablished a relationship with my son. Got custody of my son. I got to coach his little league football team, and I became employable and had a job. And And man, all these beautiful things were coming to pass one after another. I was just following what you guys were telling me to do. And then I had the thought that I'm not alcoholic. And I kept it to myself. And I tried to think my way out of that for about 6 months. And if your mind is compelled to drink the way that mine is, you know, when you try to stop, you can't stay stopped. There's no mental defense for this. And fancy myself a smart guy, you know. But I couldn't, like, it just didn't matter. And I have, like, a lot of willpower. Like, 2 days ago or yesterday, I decided not to eat all day, and I just didn't eat all day, you know? I'm fucking fat. Like, that's weird, you know? But just did it. I just decided to do something, and I did it, you know? And, like, that's been common thread in every aspect of my life except my drinking. It just has no effect. And I got out there, man, and I stayed out there for about 6 months, and I couldn't look myself in the mirror on June 6, 2016. I saw all that stuff that you guys had made me into and given me, like, slipping away real fast. And I came back here and I walked into my home group the first time, and they were like, hey, the audio is not working. We need you to fix it. And there's this thing that you need to look at. And I was like, bro, I'm here to pick up a white shit. Like, not now, you know? And they didn't care. They didn't care. They were like, go fix the sound, man. We're having a meeting tonight. We need you to fix it. I was like, fine, you know, and a guy that I had sponsored before I left called me and, hey, sponsor. And I was like, no, I'm still drunk. Leave me alone, you know? And he's like, cool. So listen, my ex-wife is like being a, you know, and I was like, oh my God, okay, whatever, dude. And I don't know what, I didn't want to be sober. That was the thing. I didn't want to be sober, but I knew, like, I needed to do something, right? But, like, give me the choice, and, like, I'm drinking, right? And what happened was I just went through the motions. My sponsor told me when to write a fourth step, and I wrote the fourth step. And he told me when to come over and do the fifth step, and I went over to do the fifth step. And he told me when to make certain amends, and I went and made those amends. And he told me, you know, when it was time to carry the message, and I tried to do that. And at around 6 months sober, this guy, like, really just broke my heart last night. He told me the actual story. I didn't remember. Well, I didn't know part of it. I sit down next to this guy at a meeting, and he's like vibrating brand new, one of those, you know, still shaking. And I was like, hey, did you get a sponsor? Have you read the doctor's opinion? You know, and he was like, the fuck, you know, and I got his phone number. And I would call him, and, you know, I'd meet him at meetings, and I would ask him if he got a sponsor yet. And eventually, a few weeks later, he asked me to sponsor him. And I thought that was, like, because he saw something in me. What I found out last night, 9.5 years later, is that two other guys have rejected him. You know, told him no. And I was like, well, here we are. It worked out. You know, but still love him. But something changed. Something changed. I think it was when we were driving around and I was listening to his fifth step. Something changed about the way I felt about being sober. I wanted to be sober. I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous again. And I don't know, man, I didn't die when I went back out there. I didn't die physically. I'm still here, obviously. You guys can do that math. I'm not as good at this stuff as Kaylin. You know, I can't just die and pop up and come back. But what did happen is I died a spiritual death. I was alone. I was isolated. I was angry. I was depressed. I had no hope. I was robbed of all those things. And AA gave me that stuff back as I went through this process with my sponsor. And I got back involved with my home group. And if you're new tonight and you're, like, trying to listen, like, what, you know, what is he talking about? Here's the deal. Whenever I started to drink, I had, like, a plan. I knew what was going to go on. I knew how this was going to go, right? And some nights I knew it was going to be an absolute shit show. But some nights I knew that, like, it was just going to be one pitcher of beer. I was, like, I was going to drink socially with the guys, you know? I, like, knew. And every time something else happened. Like, it just got out of my control. It was like a little bit. I couldn't stop in time. And I've tried to stop drinking so many different times before I got here. And every time, like, all of a sudden, I would just have the thought, like, well, you could drink again. Like, here's what we're going to do. And I would do it. And that's even after knowing about that in AA. I can't stop myself from drinking. And what the drinking does to me is it puts me in an isolated hell all by myself. When I got here, I didn't get here to live a normal life or a good life. I didn't come here for that. I came here to escape the hell that I was living in. The isolation, the loneliness, all the despair, all that stuff. I came here to escape that, right? And I know what's waiting for me out there. I find it very important to work closely with newcomers, A, because the book tells me to, right? B, because my sponsor tells me to. C, because, like, I see it in them. Every time I work with another new guy, I see what's waiting for me out there. And I want to tell you guys some of the cool stuff, right? Because of the amends process, and so many of them, I would tell my sponsor, I can't make that one. It's too lofty. That one's going to be too hard. And he would say, just go try to take the very first step. Try to chip away at it. Go do the first thing, you know. Because of that, I was able to get a passport, right? It's crazy. Other countries let me in. I got, like, all kinds of stamps now. Like, it's weird. I've been all over the world, right? And I've been all over the world with my wife, and I've been all over the world with my friends here in AA, and I've gotten to do amazing things like that. And I've gotten to stand at the altar with three of, like, my closest friends today and perform their wedding ceremonies. Like, they trusted me with that, right? That's amazing to me, you know? I got to have my own wedding with my wife, and we, like, didn't invite first cousins because we wanted you guys there, you know? We wanted AA at our wedding. We saved lives at that wedding, Glenn. I've gotten to, the biggest privilege is I've gotten to take a number of guys to the steps and go through a fourth and fifth step and tell them, like, hey, man, me too. I get it. It's going to be okay. You're just an alcoholic, right? What's the other cool shit about? Oh, when I was like 12 or 13, we did something in school, and it was like to figure out what you want to be when you grow up. And I was like baseball player, football player, fighter jet pilot, and then like project manager. And I was like, ah, loser, not going to do that. And 6 months ago, I got promoted at my job to project manager. And I was like, oh. That's weird, you know. Nobody recognized my fastball, you know. Like, I guess I'll settle for this, you know. But, you know, I got to do a lot of therapy. A made me ready for that, and what therapy made me ready for was to send my dad a text and tell him. I lost contact with my kid about 5 years ago. Sent my dad a text and tell him, hey, if you talk to my son, let him know I'd love to talk to him if he's willing to. You know? And a few days after that, I got a text from my son. I was like, whoa, I don't know what to do, you know? I called my sponsor, called my therapist. And we just started talking. And 2 days ago, he asked me if I'd like to get lunch with him this week. If you can manifest that type of thing somewhere that's not AA, let me know where it is. Like, come grab me after the meeting and tell me about it. I don't see that stuff happen elsewhere, man. I don't hear about it, you know. We went through, like, a kind of a rough patch there for a couple years. With just, you know, the world happening around us, it didn't care that we were sober and trying to help other people. And a bunch of bad stuff happened. And then, like, it culminated about a year and a half ago. I was up here speaking for Caddy, and I was talking trash about how the people who evacuated for Hurricane Helene were pussies, you know. And then we got home and our house flooded. And we lost our house, and I didn't know where we were going to go. And the guy that usually sits over there, came to me and said, hey, why don't you take over my place? And it was like, well, we can't do that alone. And this idea came out to, like, move in with newcomers. And I was like, I'm 40, dude. Fuck that. You know, like, I don't want to do that. And then I remembered that January 1st, 2010, I moved into a house with four other people who had been sober for years. And they showed me what it was like to live sober up close and personal. We already had one living with us, so there was a given, and we had one who lost his halfway house bed to the floods, and he was in a little crack motel making burritos in the microwave for the guys or something like that. I was like, you don't have to live that way anymore, dude. Come on, I'm coming to get you. And then we didn't know who we were going to get for the third guy. And this fucking bebopping surfer guy just was bouncing around a meeting that I was at on a Wednesday night. And I was like, hey, dude, you know, what halfway house do you live in? He's like, oh, I live on my mom's couch. Sick, want to rent a room, you know? I didn't know this guy from Adam, dude. And we had our newcomers. We moved into a house with newcomers. And I watched these people get their driver's licenses and buy cars and get girlfriends and relapse, run away. We found other people to take their spot. We moved in, 27-year-old brats, you know, like just dealt with kids, you know, constantly. And I got to watch them repair relationships with their parents. Got to watch them become like good members of AA, you know, show up, the kind of people you count on, you know. And old surfer boy had some other ideas. He wanted to test some things out and, you know, fly the coop. I miss him every day. But, you know, the thing about AA is there's this constant revolving door, and we move this hillbilly in that's just doesn't shut up and screams at everybody. And you know, like, my life is full, dude. I don't have a boring moment in my life. There's never, like, you know, it's never like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. You know, like, I just walk downstairs and there's action, you know. I just pick up my phone and I text somebody, you know, action. And I've gotten to do some of the coolest stuff and have some of the coolest conversations. And the truth is I don't always feel motivated to do that stuff. But in our pigeon family, every morning these guys like check in that they read some AA literature, they prayed, they meditated. And Steven's in there every morning before I even make it to the bathroom. And I'm like, fuck, I got to keep up with Steven. You know, I can't let him get too far ahead of me. And it helps me. You know, I've got guys that I sponsor that are up at 5 in the morning just to show spons how good they're doing, you know. They go back to bed till 9, you know, but. I'm constantly shown the way by you guys still today. And I didn't know that story that Steven told about me. I had no idea about that. And it doesn't surprise me. It's nothing that I did. The deal was is when I got here and when I met Ryan, Ryan showed me how to do everything I know how to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. He told me things, like weird things, like when you're in a meeting, take off your hat, put your cell phone away, don't get up and walk around, don't go have a cigarette in the middle of the meeting. And I was like, I don't know how that relates, but okay, you know, and I just did it, you know, I just did it. And he showed me how to work one-on-one with another guy. And he showed me how to be a man. I got to live with him, and he showed me how to wake up and start your day. And he showed me how to wrap up your day before you go to bed. And he showed me what it looked like to be in a relationship with another person and how to treat them, you know. And he's been there every step of the way, the good, the bad, whatever, you know. And I don't know that there's anybody else in my life like that, you know. I called my dad on Sunday and, Happy Father's Day, Dad, da 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 da. I love you. And he said, okay, and hung up, you know. And, you know, Ryan's been there to fill that void for me for the last 17 years. I can't thank you enough, man. I'll give you Ryan to come up and finish the meeting.